Okay, let's do our giving confession. Everybody ready? Father God, as we come to the point of the service that we pay our tithes and bring our offerings before you, I don't hear anybody. We confess that you are the only God. You are our salvation and our reason for being. You are the Alpha and Omega, our healer, our provider, and our everlasting victory. We bring our tithes and offerings with a joyful, willing, and obedient heart, fully expecting you to throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a spiritual and financial blessing so great that we will scarcely be able to contain it. We thank you that as we give, it will be given into our bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We ask that you grant us wisdom to use these funds effectively to minister to our community, winning souls, making disciples, and ever expanding the kingdom, and I'm going to add of God, from Lake City, Live Oak, White Springs, Fort White, Lulu, and Florida, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah! Okay, you may receive that. Does anybody have any announcements that they need to share? We just have the basic ones. Don't forget, prayer is Monday night from 5 to 7. Our normal midweek service is Wednesday night from 7 to 8. And we should be open Saturday morning as well for our prayer time there, which is like 9 to 11-ish. Kind of depends on who's here and what time we get done and, you know, how that goes. Pastor is due back in town Friday, I believe, and is planning to be here next weekend. Austin and I will be out of town. We'll be down in Tampa. My brother and sister-in-law are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, so we're going to go down for that celebration and spend a little time just father-daughter time together, just kind of not worrying about much. So that's what's coming down with us here the next week. Do I have a volunteer to go grocery shopping and get the goodies and set up the coffee? And if not, I'll appoint somebody later. I don't see any hands. That's a scratch. That doesn't count. You can't make the coffee? It's very simple. 3 scoop of grounds? I'll be happy to. It's very simple. The hardest part's toting it from there to there. And I guess you could tote the water in the pot and pour it in, so it's not that difficult. Okay. It's pretty easy actually. All right, good. That's something off of my heart. Actually, if Brother Ricky is ready, he's going to bring the word this morning and minister. It's always good when he shares from his heart. So give him a big hand as he comes up.
Good morning. I could have just stayed in the worship, couldn't you? That was awesome. I'm all for them coming back in here and do it some more. But whatever. But I want to share from my heart. I've been thinking about all week and what to share. And there's a lot of things. I may read scripture, I may not. But everything I tell you will come from the Word. I promise you that. The Lord showed up this morning. And he said through Miss Wanda, he said, thank you for your praise. Thank you for your praise. I really believe that he wants to be very interactive with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to come. and just spend time. I think about the prodigal son. You know, we're kind of familiar with that scripture where the young son comes and says to the father, give me everything that's coming to me. And so the father didn't deny him, did he? He gave him what was coming to him, and he took off and went to a foreign land and spent the money. He ends up feeding pigs and eating what the pigs were eating. And then he came to himself, and he said, you know what? The servants in my father's house have plenty to eat, so I will, and he rehearses his repentance. He repented for what he had done. Because the end of what he had done was ruin. It was like Kelly singing that song this morning, walk with me, let me walk with you on the narrow road. The wide gate is beautiful. Look at the world around us. Look at what's going on. People are so caught up in their things, so caught up in their status, their social status, who they are, caught up in politics as who they're going to control and what you're going to do under their control. And all these things that are going on were prophesied that this is what would be happening. And it was also prophesied by the Lord that iniquity would be abounding. And is iniquity abounding? Are we living in a time in the earth that was like the days of Noah? The world was full of violence. We're violent here in America and in our own people. We're stoning people with words all the time, stoning. And then people take it into their own hands to take weapons. It's not the weapon's fault. It's not the weapon that did the damage. It's not the car that ran into the people. It was a tool used in the hands of somebody that was full of the spirit of death and the spirit of anger and the spirit of fear, because they don't know what's going on in the world today. They don't have a hope. They don't have an anchor and a hope. And they're living for every day. And it's prophesied this would be. And it's also said in that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. We're living in those days. We're living in a time when we as Christian people will suffer persecution more probably than we ever have. I mean, we're sheltered still from it. We're still sheltered a lot from it, but it's coming. It's happening. They're trying to shut Christianity down. Well, who's behind that? A defeated enemy? He's already defeated. He's already defeated. But the interesting things about the prodigal son's story is that when the prodigal son came to himself and rehearsed his repentance and he comes back to the father, he can't even get those words out of his mouth before the father has already run to him, has already kissed him, has already put a robe on him and a ring, and has already shod his feet with shoes, with sandals, and brought him in and said, let's rejoice and kill the fatted calf. And the older brother's out in the field, and he comes and he hears the rejoicing and all. He can't enter that rejoicing. Do you know why he can't enter that rejoicing? Bitterness in his heart. Why? Who is the real slave in this situation? Who's the real slave? The young son went off and did whatever he was going to do. And the father has enough, he's so good and has enough faith in being good that he allows that son to go do whatever he's going to do. There's a chance of losing that son. In fact, when he went away, he lost him. Because when he came back, he says he was dead, but now he's alive again. It's kind of a picture of repentance and new birth, isn't it? He's coming back ready to just be a slave, ready to just be a servant, just so he can eat and have provision. The other one comes and can't have any part of the rejoicing because he's already a slave. He's already serving out of duty. He and his father have no intimate relationship. No intimate relationship. He is just serving because he is his father. And dear Lord, if I mess up, what will he do to me? I've made plenty of mistakes. I've messed up. But I have to trust and believe in a good father. That is true. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. But that's the very reason Jesus came. He does not want us living as a servant. He does not want us standing afar off and not able to rejoice with the rejoicing and the celebration that's going on because we're living under rules and regulations. How many of y'all have performed well this week? How many of you missed it? You miss it? How did you miss it? What did you miss? Are you living by rules? If you're living by rules, you're standing off here, you can't enter in into the celebration because you're self-condemned. You're condemning yourself because you missed it, because you're living by performance. I'll tell you, the whole world's living by performance. Churches I have been members of are reading Moses every weekend. You shall and you shall not. You know, Aletha and I work together. I go get a cup of coffee sometimes just to get to talk to her. And we talk about these sort of things because she'll be going through some things up front. And I have my days where I'm sitting back here and I'm thinking, dear Lord, help me. Because we're not supposed to live in that place. You know how it was in here this morning? Did y'all feel the presence of God? Well, where did he come from? When we began to sing and worship, where did he come from? Was he downtown at Beef's waiting on the music to start? He walked in with us when we came in here. How many of us are gathered together here in his name? More than two. Where did he say he would be? Right in the midst. Right with us. Do you know why? Because as we come together by ourselves, we are part of the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we come together, the temple has come together. Rick Pino was singing, I was listening to it this morning, getting ready. Come to your temple, Lord. Come. He's in his temple. We're not living under the days of laws. We're not living under the days of ordinances to keep, of a lot of washings and different things. I mean, other religions of the world, that's what they do. Where, anywhere, did Buddha, Hare Krishna, Muhammad, any of the number of them that's out there, where did they ever say, I am going to die for your sins, I will be buried, and I will be raised again from the dead, and I will send my spirit to indwell you? Did any of them do that? Why? Because they can't. They couldn't. Jesus is the only one that could. And when he died on the cross, they didn't kill him. He laid down his life. They crucified him. They hung him up there. They beat him. They did all the things that Scripture says. But while he hung on the cross, he made a very important statement. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then gave up the ghost. He didn't die natural causes. He gave up his spirit out of his body. And then he was limp and dead. And they buried him. What did they do before they buried him? Joseph, huh? They wrapped him up in strips of cloth and about 100 pounds of ointments. They mummified him. They wrapped these cloths. They had to do it in a hurry because of the sundown and all that, the Sabbath coming. And so he weighs whatever his body weight is, plus at least 100 pounds of the ointment when they dipped those cloths and then wrapped them on him. They're wrapped around his legs, around his arms, around his torso, and up to here. And then there was a cloth put over his head. So when he was resurrected, if you're going to carry him out of there, somebody, you had better have a couple strong guys because he's going to be heavy. But when they came to the tomb and they saw, and John looked in and saw the cloths lying there, he believed. Because there was an empty shell. How did they get him out of there? They didn't cut it open. How did they get him out of there? No man touched him. He came out of those clothes because he came out in a glorified body. When the Spirit of God came, he came back into his body. He'd show up with doors closed and walls. Remember that after his resurrection? He'd just show up. He'd go through a wall, whatever. He's got a resurrected heavenly body. And so those linen clothes or cloths were laying there with nobody in it. And so John believed. Where are we living? We say a lot of things like God is good, and we sing those songs, and God is good. But what do we really believe? What determines our life? What determines decisions? Are we basing it on rules? Are we basing it on an everlasting life of Jesus, our priest, who ever lives to make intercession for us? I really have one question. Do we really believe the goodness of God? Do we really believe God is good? Do we really believe that we come to the Father, that He's going to be good? Do we really believe that, or are we going to try to come and get back under rules again? Religion is an institution made by man. Christianity, the true belief, is a relationship that's God's idea. It's the Lord's idea. It's the Lord's working, and it's marvelous in our eyes according to Scripture. When we leave here, I think sometimes on Sundays I'm thinking, it's really good. We enjoy it. We hear good word. But it's like, what happens when we go out and get in the vehicle and we drive away? Do we take it with us? Or are we back to ho-hum again? Are we back to performance mode again? When we come in here and the worship is good like it was, we lose all sense of fear. We lose all sense of issues or troubles. But when we go back out into real life, we want to call it, what do we do? Do we believe in the goodness of God? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't stutter. He didn't half mean that. He wasn't joking. He meant that he wants us to have abundant life. Abundant life. So that when we go out into the world and we face these situations, what's the difference in us and just Joe Blow on the street? What's the difference? The Lord has taken up his residence in his people. And so while we're on the streets, in our jobs, he gives us grace. And we have to believe. We have to believe. People came to Jesus, says, what do we need to do to work the work of God? And he said one word, believe. Believe. It wasn't offer sacrifices. It wasn't trying to do all these works and good deeds and taking food to the poor and all these kinds of things. That's great. As a work of grace, because we are right with the Lord. So today has been really good. I really believe in my heart the Lord wants this for us every day. Every day. We don't have to have the music because we don't always have a place where we can have music. But he wants to fill us with joy every day. Do we believe when we walk out these doors, do we believe that the Lord is really good and that he is granting us his grace? Father, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you ever lived to make intercession for us. I thank you that you were manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, that includes anything that is bad. It includes all the things of the flesh, the world, and of Satan. But Lord, you're good. You're always good. Your goodness prevails, and your goodness has won the victory for us. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, cause all of us, Lord, your joy to rise up in us, which is our strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We receive it. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. You're good and you're merciful. Your love endures forever. Your mercy endures forever, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do marvelous things in us this week in Jesus' name. Lord, let your blood that has never lost its power cleanse us totally from all iniquity and all unrighteousness, and that your, as your word said, that we would live it, Lord. We believe it and receive it and walk in it, that your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And Lord, if you don't remember them, you don't want us to remember them. You want us to face you with unveiled face. Just unveiled face. Receiving, being changed from glory to glory because as we look into your liberty. Ah, Lord, you're good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray for Brother Terry. He's in Cuba. Lord, as you're working there, you've opened doors. You've done things there through Jonathan Kahn. That, Lord, just amazing things. Because you, Lord, are the Lord of all creation. And you're coming back soon to restore and to reclaim and to set up your kingdom, Lord, on its physical on earth. And, Lord, we pray for all men in Jesus' name that they might receive your truth and be saved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.